What's up, fam? I'm your host, Jack Settleman. Joining me today, and as always, my co-host and longtime best friend, Abe Granoff, outside of the stew. Abe, what is on your mind today?
I want to apologize to the fam for not being live in the stew tonight. If you can hear my voice, a little congested. Jack's got a big week ahead. I'm going to Raleigh, North Carolina. Thought better, you know, just in case. I'm a little under the weather, maybe to stay away from the stew. But we'll be back in the stew on Sunday. What is on my mind today? Jack, I've gotten tons of DMs from the fam throughout my Snapback podcast career, dating back 3.5 years now. However, I wanted to give a personal shout out to somebody special today that was in my DMs on Twitter. I just want to phrase this as, if you ever want to get my attention via DMs, if you ever want to just get a response out of me, for whatever reason that may be, this is the best way to go about it. Don't come in and dick eat and say, I love all the work you and Jack do. Your takes are so good. You're so much smarter than Jack. This is how you slide in my DMs. I got a DM on Twitter from a guy named, I'm giving him a personal shout out, Malone Holt, MZHolt54 on Twitter.
Malone? That's a red flag off the top.
Malon, M-A-H-L-O-N.
Okay.
I don't know.
Not Malone.
So I didn't see his DM back in November where he said, Waffle House is good as fuck. Listen to Jack. Fire, fire, fire. But what I did see is today at 11:13 a.m., he hopped in my DMs. He sent me a picture of the Memphis Grizzlies all posing for a photo in all caps saying, it's a parade inside my city, yeah, which is whatever, their anthem, whatever they've been doing. And then he proceeded to go on a rant. He said, and he's referring to Ja Morant, and he went to public school. Actually, no real info before you go on your podcast talking shit, you little bitch. He sent me a screenshot of an article that details Ja Morant going to public school rather than private school. I might be cap of the week, might not, irrelevant. I still haven't responded after the screenshot. Message number two. Message number three. Stop hating on a motherfucker you don't even know, dumbass little boy. Worry about your own life.
Facts.
And then I didn't answer. 11 minutes later, I didn't see it. He responds, and it was just a total 360. I'ma still listen to the pod, though. This just love for the Grizzlies. You crack me up for real. So he did a whole 360, calling me a little bitch.
180.
Doing a whole switch up on the Grizzlies. And I simply responded. And I said, this string of messages cracked me up, LMFAO. And then Malin, whatever your name is, he kind of went into fanboy mode. He said, dude, you responded. I'm going to be honest. I'm a fan of yours. I was just talking shit to talk shit. To be honest, I'm a fan. Much respect. Love the podcast. And I said, I appreciate the hate and the love. Thank you for the support. He said, much love, no hate. I was just doing honestly to see if you'd respond. Much love to you, Jack and Andrew. And I said, I'd rather respond to hate, to be honest. It's way more fun. To which he responded, and you should tell Hallie about this. He responded, congrats to Jack and Haley. Haley, he said. I know I can tell from the podcast, you be having me dying laughing. So the point is, if you're going to come into my DMs, come with some fire. Hate on me.
Come ready.
Call me stupid. Come ready. But don't let me dig up old tweets of yours. Because if you actually get under my skin, this was funny. If you actually get under my skin and I got a little time on my hand, I'm going to do some digging into some old tweets. But shout out Malone Holt. Snapback fan member, Snapback pod listener, much love. Keep hating my DMs. And by the way, your Grizzlies are cute. Ja Morant's a bitch. Dylan Brooks is ugly. That's what's on my mind.
Okay, dude.
You know how much I've hated Draymond Green over the years. He's like my pinnacle of hatred. Dylan Brooks, I think, has officially eclipsed Draymond Green. I hate him so much. I hate his face. I hate his voice. I hate his stupid fucking hair. I hate his sunglasses. I hate everything about Dylan Brooks. Absolutely everything. And the funny part is, he's beefing with someone I also hate, Draymond Green. But then he's beefing with former Knick legend Theo Pinson. What did Theo do to you? Nothing. I hate Dylan Brooks, but I love Malone Holt.
Do you think if you saw Dylan Brooks, you would tell him you hate him? Or, like, would you Malone? Like, you're ready to come at him, but, like, the second he responds back, you're
I sat courtside a few years ago at a Sixers I want to say Lakers Timberwolves game or something. Jared Bayless was playing on the other team, and Jared Bayless was a former Sixer who I absolutely hated. I had a few tikikis, and I was chirping Jared Bayless, telling him he sucks, this, that, anything under the sun. I was letting it fly, directly courtside. And then he approached me during a timeout, or a foul shot. And he came up to me, and I was actually with John Gruden, Snapback Sport legend, and he questioned me. He was like, "That's you? That's you who was talking shit?" And I was like, no, you're so good. I folded in my shell. And then, as a matter of fact, he was like, "Yeah, I thought so. Tough guy, Jared. Fuck you, Jared Bayless." And then somebody else was talking shit on the other side of the court. And I guess they admitted it, that it was him. They have more balls than I did. He got them kicked out of the game. First off, Jared Bayless should have no power to kick any fan out of the game. But had I admitted that that was me and not gone into my shop, I would have missed the rest of the game. So, yeah, I was a cuck, but smart move by me. Fair enough. I would never tell Dylan Brooks to his face. No.
Fair enough. I get that. I think I'm probably in the same boat. Although we've agreed, and we learned last episode, that I'm not as big of a hater as we thought. You're definitely the all-time hater here.
I'm a hater. You're more of a scumbag. I'd rather be a hater.
Yeah, I don't really have a response.
Scumbag is like sarcastically calculating hatred. And that's what you do. I just let it fly.
Yeah.
I don't sugarcoat it.
But you do.
Yeah.
Let's talk baseball, which I said we weren't going to do a lot of on this podcast. But maybe the best moment in baseball history. Ooh. Maybe I'm overselling it just a little bit, but you talk about script writing. They've been looking for the script in the NFL. We found it with Jamal Williams. And then now the baseball script writers wrote a banger, wrote an absolute banger. You got the World Baseball Classic. You got Edwin Diaz gets hurt. Jose Altuve gets hurt. So you draw interest. And then you got the script of you put it in Miami. You get all this culture, the great fans. And how does it end? With the Philadelphia Phillies losing in the championship. But more importantly, it's the fact that Shohei Ohtani gets on the mound in the ninth inning, last up, down one, full count, Michael Trout, and Ohtani strikes him out. The most important baseball of Mike Trout's career to this point. What do you think? Is this like, could this be a changing moment for baseball?
Last night was really awesome, Jack. Like, it had, like, it felt like I was watching the Phillies run all over again in October. I didn't care as much. I had a bet on the U.S. But it had that type of hype. There wasn't one person sitting in the stands. Every pitch mattered. And it was just beautiful for baseball. And the people don't care crowd, fuck off. That was awesome last night. You've got Mike Trout, who is the, at this point, I'm going to say the second greatest player of all time, behind the guy that struck him out last night, playing in the biggest moment of his entire career because he's made the playoffs once and won one game in the playoffs, up to bat against his teammate, against... I need to talk about Shohei Ohtani. This guy is an alien. He's an absolute alien. So I was looking into... Because Shohei Ohtani is due to be a free agent at the end of this year in the MLB. And the question is, like, where do you even start with a guy like this? What does a number even look like? The capologists have him at $300 million player, if you...
A year.
A year. No. If you consider him a quote-unquote hitter. They have him at a $200 million contract if you consider him a pitcher. This guy does both at an elite level. Like, does the number start with a six in terms of his contract? A $600 million contract, the biggest contract that's ever been handed out in baseball. Steve Cohen is licking his chops, checking under every mattress to get every dollar for this guy. This guy throws the hardest. He's great at pitching. He hits the hardest. He runs the fastest. He's a genuine alien on the baseball field. And what I saw from last night is that this guy can play deep into October. He has the balls. What we saw on Monday night, where he has the leadoff double, or the double that is the game-winning run against Mexico when they had a comeback win in the semis. He goes last night. He gets on the mound in the last inning after playing the entire game. The guy was throwing 101 in the ninth inning against Mike Trout. He has two heaters down the middle. Like, I would love
Wait, there was a crazy stat that Trout, I think it was something like he struck out a few hundred times in his career, and in his of those strikeouts, he swung and missed on all three strikes 21 times. Like, that's how rare the strikeout last night even was.
He, and I would love to spin this as Trout, biggest moment ever, came up in his career, can't play in October, all of that. But, like, I don't know how, there's a fine line to be drawn between do you want to hate one side or do you want to praise the other side? And usually I'm on the former. This time I just got to give it to Ohtani. And, listen, the Phillies needed help at the end of the day. What more can you do? You got Trey Turner, Captain America, putting the fucking country on his back. You got Schwarber with one of the best at-bats I've ever seen, sending one deep into the night. It's like, at the end of the day, can the Phillies get a little bit of help? We can only lose so many championships, right? We can only be responsible for so many second-place finishes. And last night was another indication of that. You had Japan coming out on top, 3 to the Philadelphia Phillies, 2. And you know what? The World Baseball Classic was fucking awesome, and I think this could bridge the gap and actually get people in the States to care about it. Like, we didn't see the Kershaws, the Verlanders, the Scherzers pitching. Like, last night was Merrill Kelly, and we got all the hitters, right? But we haven't gotten the elite pitching, and maybe that would have been the difference where the USA struggled on early in the tournament, and then, listen, Kelly pitched a good game last night, but enough wasn't enough, and they end up falling 3-2. But the World Baseball Classic made baseball exciting in March. Like, that's quite literally the impossible being done.
Yeah, it was awesome. My takeaway from it was I'm an Ohtani, like, stan fanboy after last night.
How could you not?
And it's yeah, but you're saying how could you not, right? And I've talked about this with fandom and the ever-changing landscape of it. It's like, I don't know, outside of the Orioles, which I've obviously drawn far from, it's like, I would watch that guy play. I would tune into his stuff. I want to follow his stuff more than anyone else. And that's rare. Like, it's LeBron for you. And I think that it was just a huge moment for baseball. Now, if they embrace it, right, they got to just make him the face of the sport, because he's beyond special, to your point. He's a legitimate alien. What he's doing, I don't think people understand what he's doing. Like, even I, who am in this sports world, I knew he had a really good year last year, but I just figured, like, oh, he's a pretty good pitcher. No, like, he was a legitimate number one ace, and he's the best hitter on the team alongside Mike Trout. It's insane. And they just need to play that up. So, big night for baseball. Now, of course, baseball will let it rock, and, you know, we'll fade into darkness. NBA playoffs will take over, and then we'll be in the middle of July and be like, all right, let's bet some Nerfies, let's bet some home runs. Jackie Dingers will be back, but hopefully they capture this momentum and roll with it.
You said something about, hold on. You said something about making Ohtani the face of baseball, and I thought about that as well. But I do think there's an element to the MLB being in an American league, an American sport. The face of the league needs a translator. And I'm not saying that he can't be the face of the league. It's just, like, in my opinion, a lot more difficult to do so. Like, Mike Trout could have been the face of the league in the last 10 years. You walk on the street, probably a lot of people don't recognize him. Maybe that's because the Angels haven't made the playoffs and he hasn't been in the limelight. But I don't know. I feel that there was a lot of missed opportunity with Mike Trout, and Shohei Ohtani is kind of even bringing that more to light now.
Well, Ohtani's, his English is getting better, and I think that's going to be part of the story. Like, they played a clip of, you know, him messing around at batting practice, working on his English, and look at the NBA. It's an international league now. The NBA is no problem focusing on Giannis and Luka and Jokic and those guys. I don't want people to think that your sentiment is like, oh, they need it to be an American.
No,
they don't.
No, no.
They definitely
don't. I
just
think it makes it a little bit more difficult.
100%. 100%. All right, now we get to make fun of the Eagles. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, he's worth like one Robin Lopez, as they say. But he came out firing after signing with the Lions 1 year, $8 million, and said, the 2023 Lions are a bit better, just a bit, not a lot. He's not going hot take here. He's just saying they're a bit better than the Eagles Super Bowl team. What are your thoughts? And is it a little ironic if you say, it's better than that team. Like, not next year's team, which he won't be on, but the team that you are literally on, like, you're part of that equation. So, yeah, what'd you think about that?
I mean, I would be bitter if I was wrong, right? Like, let's just talk about how the negotiations went down. We lost Chauncey Gardner-Johnson because we offered him a contract in the beginning of free agency. He didn't think that was worth his value. And then he went out and tried to see his value, similar to what's going on with Lamar. Turns out the Eagles were right. Nobody was giving him that long-term contract that he wanted. And that was just the reality of the situation. At the end of the day, this guy set out to make a lifetime contract or a lifetime's worth of money. And he signed a one-year deal in a very dangerous sport. Listen, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was fantastic for us this year. But I will say, defense didn't look much different in those six games that he didn't play. I will say that. As far as the Lions being better than this year's Eagles team, like, that just shows me that's not a leader that you want on the team. Like, that's immaturity at its finest. Like, the Eagles just made your career pretty much by taking the Super Bowl. Now it only left
you. You back your guys.
Maybe after you met them and had a cup of coffee with them, maybe you wait 15 minutes and don't do it at the opening press conference. But, I mean, that's C.J. Gardner-Johnson, right? He's a guy with big personality. People around league circles have talked about, like, he could be a head case. He could not be worth the long-term commitment to him. And he's a great football player at the end of the day. But, I mean, you just kind of laugh it off when he says that. A guy that plays safety, a pretty low-valued position in today's NFL, it seems like it's always defensive line and cornerback, so that's fine. He's trying to be in good graces with his new team. He's trying to, you know, show that he's a locker room guy. So that
now you're being the scumbag. You're doing the sarcasm. You're doing the sarcasm.
Well, what was sarcasm? No, it was truthful. How is that sarcastic? The safety is an undervalued position in the NFL.
Just maybe the tone in your voice threw me off there for a minute.
You are the one that just said Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is making Robin Lopez money. And I can't say that safety's undervalued in the NFL.
Wait, time out. You can. I just heard a tone in your voice. I was just saying, fact, he is making Robin Lopez money. Which, I'll make fucking Robin Lopez money next year. If you want to offer me Robin Lopez money, I'm there.
Yeah, but you're not looking for 3x that like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was. So,
of course,
thanks.
I am.
Thanks, Chauncey. Enjoy Detroit. That's what I have to say on that. Fucking asshole.
You
could try and spin it as much as you can here. Just like the Lions have a better roster than the Eagles did last year.
Last year?
This year, whatever, the Super Bowl team.
Like this next year's roster?
No. That's what Chauncey said. He said the Lions team now is better than the Eagles team that went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, the team that they'll have this upcoming season with him, gotcha. The new secondary.
They lost J-Mo. Jamal Williams.
Yeah, but they got J-Mo healthy. They'll be good, but their quarterback is Jared Goff. So,
they'll be good, you know. But yet you have already anointed them as congratulations for being the cuties of the year.
Yeah, so?
They'll win 9 games, maybe. They are the Lions. All right. Let's just keep that in mind.
No, 100%. This one, I'm sure, will get a good reaction out of both of us. Are there 32 starters better than Cam Newton right now in the NFL, including the guys who are going to be drafted?
No. There's 62. That is the honest answer. He's right. There's not 32 players better than Cam Newton. There's way more than that. At this point in his career. And you're talking to a guy.
What made you change that up?
I love when people are so dumb. Like, that's why. And, like, this is a perfect opportunity. You're talking to a guy who Cam Newton signed to the Patriots, and I bet on them to win the division an hour later. I've been a Cam Newton guy my entire life. And then I saw a clip of him throwing at Auburn's Pro Day. And I'm sure there were good throws, but the one that I saw that circulated the internet soared over the receiver's head. And the last time we saw Cam Newton, he couldn't throw it 4 yards, and when he did, it was at the ground. I don't know what happened, but you got to always appreciate Cam Newton's blind confidence. And someone who has that deep in their blood like myself, I can appreciate that. He could be a backup for sure. And I wouldn't even call him probably the worst backup in the league at this point. He could be a serviceable backup, in my opinion. Are there 32 quarterbacks better than him? No, there's probably more.
It's so funny. I'm going to take the complete opposite approach from you. I'm going to say that he couldn't be a backup in the NFL because the ego, the locker room, the everything that comes with that blind confidence of Cam Newton. Do I think that Cam Newton, in the right system, in the right play calling, if you were trying to accomplish one thing, which was win like six games, that he would give you a better chance than some of the 32 quarterbacks? Absolutely. I think if he committed to being a bulldozing running quarterback and throwing screens and handing off, similar to Marcus Mariota last season, I think Cam Newton could be super effective if you tailored the entire team to fit his strengths, which at this point in his career is very limited passing. Now, why would anyone do that? I have no clue, because maybe you're in the NFC South and you're like, hey, I think eight wins is going to get us to the playoffs, and I really want to go to the playoffs. So we're just going to hope we get a lead, play good defense, and like win 17-14 somehow. Cam Newton can't throw. I've been saying that for years. You were the one hanging on to that. He's done. I don't know why Cam Newton even gets talked about anymore. He's not good. I don't think – did he play in the NFL last year? Or that was
no,
two
but
years
I do
ago?
Think – I do think he's on to something. If I was Cam Newton, right, he's a Heisman Trophy winner at Auburn, I would throw at their pro day every single year. You never know. What people are inherently stupid, right? And we talk about stupid franchises and stupid organizations all the time. If he throws at every single Auburn pro day, one year someone might be, you know what, let's give him $1.2 million to be a backup. Sit on the bench for 1.2, have no expectations, cash a check. He should throw at that damn pro day every single year.
The boomers were upset, saying that he was taking away from the kid's spotlight. He was doing this and that.
God.
You know, it's the boomers, and I'm not a boomer. I established that by quote tweeting. No. I quote tweeted and called someone else a boomer.
You had a boomer taker earlier this week.
We'll get there. All I'm saying is we could have combined ranked and cap of the week into this segment between Cam Newton saying he's better than the starters, Chauncey Gardner saying the Lions are better than the Eagles, and most importantly, my favorite cap of the week, the Panthers have a real chance to win the Super Bowl, says Adam Thielen. Respect. Similar to Malone in your DMs. Respect, because it's just you're getting the bag, so you don't give a damn what anyone else thinks. Get the bag, say crazy shit. I understand it.
Who can fault this guy, right? Have you ever heard of anyone that started a new job, forget about the NFL, who day one wasn't telling me that they don't love the company, the culture, and everything, and then 6 months later they fucking hate their job and they're looking for a new job? That's what you do. This is the motions of getting a new job. Just because it's the NFL doesn't mean it's not a job. The new employee loves the company. That's what new employees do because they want to look good in the eyes of management. That's why C.J. Gardner-Johnson said what he said about the Lions. You want to look good to boss man. Simple as that. Listen, Adam, C.J. Stroud, Miles Sanders, the fucking ghost of Cam Newton, you're not winning a Super Bowl this year. You could, I will say, I think the Panthers could be building something.
No, stop that.
What do you mean? They got some young,
just
they got
2 weeks
young pieces
ago
on defense.
That 2 weeks ago, we're on here talking about the biggest trade steal of all time. Remember when they traded DJ Moore away and 9 first-round picks for CJ fucking Stroud? For CJ, an Ohio State quarterback. Like, not a surefire thing. Not Anthony Richardson. They could have used 2 first-round picks, got Lamar Jackson. They're not building shit. I know you're going there tomorrow, so you feel like you got to say some nice stuff about Raleigh, North Carolina. The Panthers aren't building anything. You didn't want to re-sign Miles Sanders, so now they sign him. They're building something. They have Brian Burns, who they've shopped for the last 3 off-seasons. They're building something. They're not building anything. Don't be nice to the Panthers for some weird reason. Adam Thielen is capping out his ass. We know exactly why. Give me Brooke Lopez money, Robin Lopez money. Give me any type of Lopez money, George Lopez money, and I'll say the same damn shit about the Panthers. They can win a Super Bowl. If whatever the name is, Tepper's his name. If he wants to send me a check, I'll get on this podcast every damn day and tell you why the Panthers are winning the Super Bowl. Outside of that, they're not building shit.
Something, there's a deep-rooted hatred for the Panthers somewhere in there, and I don't know where it stems from, but I gotta find it.
There's no, that was just my, maybe I want to get a little rant going, get a little fired up on the podcast as we head into
You know what, Jack, I don't
the,
think you, I don't, you've traveled a lot, but I don't think you've been to Raleigh, North Carolina, have you?
I haven't. And I actually, it's funny, I actually have a relationship to the Panthers that they've invited me down. So I'll get down there, maybe
Dude,
solve some stuff.
Give them my number. Give them my number.
What are you going to do with the Panthers in the middle of March?
Chill. Tell them that they have something to build so they'll cash me a check.
Exactly.
Give my 2 cents on CJ.
Sorry,
but
I was
the answer is whatever
up.
They want.
Yeah, yeah. Julius Randle scored 57 points. I just want a comment from you.
6 points in the fourth quarter in a tight game. Crumbled down the stretch. That's kind of my take on this. And there was a take on Twitter that I want to talk about during that game.
Go ahead.
In a night where the Sixers and the Bulls went to double overtime and barely broke 100 points each, Jack got on Twitter and said that the NBA has an offense problem and that the scoring isn't good for the league because it was 71-70 at halftime. And see, this is where you can't...
80.
Okay,
80.
You can't praise Julius Randle for doing this and then saying that the NBA has a clear problem because a guy of Julius Randle's caliber did that. The guy was hitting crazy shots. I just want you to address the fact that you actually uttered the words, the NBA has an offense problem.
It does.
In what way? Go ahead.
I would maybe we should make 3-pointers, 2-pointers. Anything in the arc is a 1-pointer and go like Dame Steph for 3-pointers.
But how does that make them play defense?
It doesn't make them play defense. What it does is it would mitigate the scoring. Your scoring totals would be much lower. And the value of a really deep shot would actually be valuable, as opposed to the 3-pointers are too easy for these guys. Torian Prince went 8 for 8 from three.
Then the 2-pointers will become too easy. The reason that this is funny is because there was a tweet earlier that day. Jeff Goodman tweeted from college basketball coverage, overall 3-point shooting in the NCAA tournament entering today's action, 30.6%. That's embarrassing. And an old ESPN reporter, who I'm going to call Jack Settleman from here on out, his name goes by Bob Ryan, tweeted, in all seriousness, you just entered my wheelhouse. The 3-point shot is the worst thing to happen to basketball in my lifetime. It has distorted the game at every level. It was never necessary. It was a gimmick of a promoter named Abe Saperstein, which you can call me Abe Saperstein from now on. And then you're making fun of that and 5 hours releasing that same tweet in different words. You and Bob Ryan are the boomers of the week. I don't understand how you can ever call somebody a boomer when you actually uttered the words, the NBA has an offense problem.
Because I'm not
because you bet
here.
It under that night.
No, well, yeah, Mike Conley is 36 points and assists in the first half. Like, he's Steph fucking Curry. I just think that you can't think it's good for the game. Let me draw a comparison.
It would be like, what does good for the game mean?
Entertaining to watch.
Deep threes aren't entertaining? Steph Curry's not entertaining?
Steph Curry is entertaining. So, but Torian Prince going 8 for 8 and scoring 33 points and not even being within the realm of being talked about that night is like, how is that even possible? Because it's like these hockey games now. If they're 7-4, what McDavid's doing is less interesting. If baseball is 12-8 every single night, then who gives a damn, you know, if there's a good pitching performance or if someone hits 2 home runs a game? I'm saying, if that were to be what it was consistently, that's
you
how outside is the scoring. No, no. I just think, what do you think it is, right? You're saying these college kids are shooting 30%. That was the statistic. Is it because they're trying, they're playing more defense, or it's because they stink? But these are the same kids that are going to go to the league, and Jabari Smith is going to score 24 points a night, and Ant Edwards at 21 years old, which this is the oldest age we've ever had in college, Like, I don't know. Maybe
well, the game
not
is longer in the NBA. It's a longer basketball game.
It is. But 30% is
I don't understand 30%. How you can feel the way that you feel and say that Steph Curry is entertaining to watch. You inherently are saying Steph Curry ruined basketball.
No, no, no. See, that's where I differentiate with Bob Ryan. The three-point shot.
You just said eliminate basketball. The three-point shot.
No, no, no. I said make it worth less. Not
which
worthless,
would be eliminating it.
No, elimination would mean remove the arc and take it back to Bob Ryan's high school days. I'm talking about make it so it's not as meaningful. Remember, the three-point shot is now 1.5 times what a two-point basket is worth, right? That is a large 50% gain for a shot that could be taken like 2 feet apart, right? That's the difference in a mid-range and a three-pointer. And it's just, it hasn't ruined it because it's forced teams to be more efficient. It's what is going to cause upsets in the tournament because these smart coaches now are like, hey, if we're not shooting a layup or a dunk, shoot a fucking three. Stop shooting in the mid-range because if we take 35 threes and we make eight threes, that's the same as 12 baskets inside the arc. That's 50% different. It's just too valuable as a three-point shot. So I'm not saying that it ruined the game. All I'm saying is, why the fuck is Torian Prince... Why Torian Prince and Julius Randle...
Okay, what's with the Torian Prince
points?
Shit?
He
did you bet his under?
No.
Sounds like it.
I told you, I bet Mike Conley's under. No under hit in that game. Literally no under. Although Mitchell Robinson somehow was scoreless in like 140 to 136 game.
He'd just be
anyways.
Out there doing cardio.
He do. Let's go to Cuck of the Week. My Cuck of the Week is Angels fans. I mean, you watch your two best guys out there and Angel fans, like everyone else got to enjoy the sex, but really Angels fans just had to enjoy the brunt of the jokes, which was like, hey, this is the most important baseball. Your players will have a play. Hey, Otani's gone. Hey, Trout probably is going to want to leave soon. Hey, you guys have blown the two greatest talents in baseball. So, yeah, I would say Angels fans, you got cucked this week.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you saw baseball fans all over. They were just sitting in the corner watching their star players get screwed in the butt by high-profile baseball, which is something that they've never been a part of. And then you're probably going to lose Ohtani next year. You didn't offer him the extension this year. You didn't get an agreement. Then you'll probably inevitably lose Trout to the Phillies. And it was just a come to... It was a very funny moment because had it been any other situation, I think it would have been a lot less funny. But the fact that the Angels haven't been in the playoffs in, I think, a decade or something, and Mike Trout is the greatest baseball player ever and has one playoff win to his name, and you have people talking about the biggest moment in these Angel players' careers, but in the same breath saying that this tournament means nothing. It's like your player's biggest moment isn't something that means nothing, and that's kind of embarrassing. But I will say that I don't think there are many actual Angels fans out there. Like, if you're from California, you're a Padres or a Dodgers fan, at the end of the day. But I do like your Cuck of the Week. My Cuck of the Week goes to Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons and I have a lot in common, Jack. We don't have an agent. Clutch Sports and Ben Simmons have broken up. This is not a troll. I truly believe that what has transpired over the last, call it 2 years, with Ben Simmons is one of the strangest, out of realm of possibilities things that have happened in the NBA. This guy was a perennial every year all-star, all-team NBA every single year. And now his agency doesn't want him. His team doesn't want to play him. It's seemingly like he got what he wished for, but it epitomizes the whole, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. I really don't know what happened to Ben Simmons, the basketball player. I don't. He was fantastic. I used to want to trade Joel Embiid before him. He was unbelievable. Yeah, he can never shoot, but... He was this prodigy child coming up, LeBron's son, and then the next LeBron and everything. Clutch signs him. Clutch goes to war for him. To war against the Sixers. Trying to recoup every dollar that he lost from sitting out. Claiming it was mental health. And now they're like, enough of your shit, dude. We're done. Like, they're moving on from Ben Simmons. I don't think there's ever been such a weird fall from grace in the NBA or maybe even sports in general that we've seen from Ben Simmons than other than Ben Simmons. And then I'd be lying if I said it didn't bring a smile to my face, but it's well, wild, man.
Does it make it a little crazier that Markel Fultz is like fully back, like 14-6-6?
Maybe to you, but this is something that I knew the entire time about Markel Fultz. I've been Markel standing since he left Philadelphia. But to see Markel Fultz...
Yeah, but you were doing that because you're an asshole, not because there's any merit to it. And this is the first season that he's actually put it together.
His tape looks just like it did coming out of Washington, and I couldn't be happier for the kid. Markel will always have a special place in my heart. My roommate has thoracic outlet syndrome like Markel had. My roommate was throwing a baseball yesterday. You can bounce back from this stuff. And Markel is doing it right now, and there's something special brewing in Orlando. If you told me 2.5 years ago that in 2.5 years' time I'd rather have Markel Fultz on my team than Ben Simmons, I would have told you you were absolutely out of your skull. But that is why the NBA is the gift that keeps on giving, because you just never know.
Well, we know one thing, and it's that the Minnesota Vikings have never won a Super Bowl in the Super Bowl era. Thank you to Eagleson for preparing this week's internet graphic, which shows that the franchise win percentage, the Minnesota Vikings are third all time. Shockingly, the Philadelphia Eagles not listed in the top 10. The Ravens here at 4 at 0.561. The Dallas Cowboys, the all-time winningest franchise by just wins. And the Steelers have 6 rings here. But the Vikings are the only team on this list that have over 518 win percentage in the history of their franchise without a Super Bowl, which is a perfect segue into the fact that Lamar Jackson to Justin Jefferson, I am so fucking ready. Move me to Minnesota. I'm there. The rumor mill is spinning. I love it. Keep the boy in purple. I can get a freaking Viking logo across my chest. I don't even got to change out the jersey. Oh, my God. In the dome? Are you kidding me?
I haven't seen any Lamar to Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. Jeremy Fowler's all over this.
That's terrifying, if that's true. I mean, this internet graphic kind of just tells you everything you need to know, and that the Minnesota Vikings are the cutest team of all time. I think that's perfectly. The third highest franchise win percentage, but no Super Bowls to show for it. Excuse me.
That is in my mouth. In the dictionary, that we would use this graphic next to cutie.
Yeah, no, like, this is like cuties for dummies. Like, if we're going to write a book, this is that would be the cover page.
Are you in that?
In on what?
I mean, outside of selfishly with the Eagles and that, but like, would you be cool with Lamar in Minnesota?
I'd prefer not, for sure.
Yeah.
I think Lamar's pretty good at football, so I'd prefer to keep him out of the NFC, but that would be really, really fun, is Lamar in Minnesota. I don't think they do anything. I don't think they win a Super Bowl, but that would be fun.
They'd win the NFC, though, pretty easily.
Probably not.
And then Adam Thielen would be talking about the. Maybe I should go back and I'll actually believe what the fuck I'm saying.
There's something weird going on in Minnesota. Eagleson sent us a. I guess this is actually perfectly correlated. Eagleson sent us a tweet the other day, and I'm going to see if I can bring it up right now. Here we go. Fascinating research regarding each NFL team's fan base's social media negativity. The top 5. Number 1, the Minnesota Vikings. Which I guess now is totally correlated and makes sense. You guys win a lot, but never win the Super Bowl. Number 2, the Cincinnati Bengals. Number 3, the Baltimore Ravens. I would love to see the year-over-year growth and hatred in that. Like, because I feel like they skyrocketed up this list recently. Number 4, the Detroit Lions. Number 5, the Carolina Panthers. Something that shocked me was that the Eagles were at 10 here. Because I've always said that there's nobody that hates Philadelphia players more than the Philadelphia media, and there's nobody that hates the Philadelphia media more than the Philadelphia fans, and it's just one ball of negativity. And I couldn't belong more perfect in a fan base than I do in Philadelphia. But to put them at 10 in terms of negativity is funny. Jack, if you were to guess without looking at the tweet, who is the most positive fan base in the NFL?
Ooh, that's a good question. So I guess to your point, it's tough to understand what it's based off of.
I'll tell you. Here's the calculator. Okay. there's three columns. There's negative Facebook posts, which I guess you could attribute to the boomers who are using Facebook to hate on. For instance, the Carolina Panthers ranked and the Cincinnati Bengals tied one in negative Facebook posts. You have negative Twitter posts, which 37% are going to the Vikings. And then you have the weirdos. Negative Reddit posts, where the conspiracy theories happen. And that one, you've got Browns at 20%. So it's a kind of an average of all that. And at the top, with an average level of negativity at 20%, you have the Minnesota Vikings. But who do you think is the most positive?
So in my head, I'm like, is it one of three things? One, am I trying to truly figure out, like, who's the most positive fan base? Two, is it overestimating, like, Dallas, who says we're going to be the best, right, as a positive fan base? Or is it three, a team like Jacksonville or the Chargers, where it's just like, they live in warm states and, like, no one gives a damn. So can I make a request that I want the 27th team on the list? Tell me who 27 is. I don't know if it'll give anything away, but if you give me 27, at least. Okay. Just give it to me.
Seattle.
No, okay. Seattle.
See, I would have thought about it from a different angle. I would have said, give me a team like the Patriots, who all they know is winning. What do they have to bitch about? That's what I.
Oh no! Because when you're at the top, the second you're not at the top, it's I need to get back.
Okay,
to the
I'll
top.
Give you
so
that. It's not the Patriots.
Okay, so it's not the Patriots. So a team. Okay, all right. So and this is 2022, or it's just like a general sentiment because Kansas City, I feel like, would have to be up there based on the.
It doesn't
that they
say
won.
What the data is from, but the tweet was released a few days ago, yesterday.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go. Hold on. I'm just scanning through. Definitely no one in the AFC North. Not Buffalo. I feel like I. Okay. Let's go with. I'm going to go Tampa. I'm going to go Tampa.
Third most positive. You had it. You had it.
Okay.
Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, yeah, it makes
I just
sense.
Think they don't like, they don't got... really care. They've got warm weather. This was an interesting one though, and I think this has to do with being in the Midwest. The Colts were 31. I think
that's
everyone
who I was gonna say that, dude. Indy's great. The vibes are amazing.
Well, people in the Midwest are just so nice.
Yeah.
So like they've
no
got...
that Indy, Jacksonville, Tampa. I know not Atlanta, New Orleans.
New Orleans is the fifth most positive.
Really?
The top five most positive. Jacksonville, Indianapolis, Tampa, San Fran, New Orleans.
See, and then San Fran was where I was going to be like, their fan base loves the team. They're good. That they're hype. Where was KC on that list?
21.
Yeah.
Middle of the pack.
I mean, they've won the Super Bowl. So
yeah.
you got to be somewhat positive when you win a Super Bowl. All right. Let's rank. This is a good one. This is a good one from Eagleson. Abe, if you were president for a day, what are the top three things you would do that day?
Just one day.
Correct? Yes.
First thing I'm doing, me and all the boys, we're bringing them back. Everyone gets a stippy check. The stippies are going out. We're all cashing out again. We'll make it $5,000 this time. Everyone needs a little stippy in their life from COVID. I'm going to be one for the people. I'm going to be a people's president. I'm going to hand out stippy checks to everybody all over again.
What is a stippy?
The stipulus package. The stipulus check that we got during COVID. Stimmy!
Oh, this is
Stimmy!
So... That's stimmy a combo checks. Of this podcast and Abe's mind. Stimmy. Did you pick this after seeing my number one?
No, I didn't actually. Okay. But all everyone, right. Yours is a little different, but me and all the boys are getting stimmies. Stimmy checks.
Okay. I don't know, a stippy check could work. Like you one time you get to cash in a stipulation. You're like, I'll do this if and then you cash the check in. That could work
too.
Could be worth more than 5 G's. All right, my first thing I would do if I was president for the day, bam paper straws. Now
hold on. Before you go into your explanation, I want to take my mythological hat that I'm wearing and absolutely tip it to you. That was a fantastic decision. I'm looking at your list right now, and I'm a little upset that this isn't number one. But, Jack, all the credit in the world. That was a fantastic pick.
Yeah, it's fuck not, paper it's straws. It's not impactful enough. Like, if you drink anything at home, you're not putting a paper straw in. It's really, and it's just like I get a smoothie every once in a while, and it's got a paper straw. So it's not a major inconvenience. And I'm not anti-environment or anti-turtles. I like turtles. I think they're nice creatures. But I just feel like we could save the environment in other ways than like just making consumption of a beverage miserable.
Listen, you know? I am all for the environment here and there. I just want some consistency with the environmentalists out there. You want a paper straw? Maybe you want me to sip it out of my 20-ounce venti plastic cup? You're putting paper straws in plastic cups. What are we doing? At least make the cup paper and then make the straw plastic if you're going to do something. You get a smoothie with a paper straw, I'm sorry, you're sucking that thing a quarter of the way down before the paper is together and you can't get any liquid out of it.
And I'm tasting the straw, and it doesn't taste like a plastic straw, which plays into it.
If Greta Thunberg wants to come on this podcast and discuss, we can have that conversation.
Yeah, I would be interested. I think it's – yeah, I don't know what it is, but we're not going to go down that path. My second thing that I would do if I were president for a day – now, I banned paper straws for the people, similar to how you gave stimulus checks. This one's a much more selfish one because I think it would be kind of hilarious, and I doubt it's ever been done before, and it's just to walk around the White House fully in the nude, fully naked. I don't really care if there's high-ranking government officials. Maybe I'll say no meetings today, everyone out. Secret Service is just on the outside. And I'm hitting every room, putting the balls on the velvet couches. I'm bowling in the nude. Yeah,
we're teabagging George Washington's old pillow, baby.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I will say, so, I promise you, Bill Clinton walked around the White House naked. That guy was a hornball.
Yeah, he probably did. I mean, we know he was nude in the – we know he – yeah.
Yeah, that guy's DNA is all over the White House walls. My number two, because part of the president's job is fighting the war on terrorism and trying to take down foreign conglomerates, is I would open and conduct an official FBI investigation against the groundsman that worked on the Super Bowl this year who overwatered the field. Roger Goodell is a coward and will not do so. So we're going to have to take it to higher authorities. Everyone wants to kill a terrorist. Everyone wants to be a hero. You want to be a hero? Make a difference. Investigate what the fuck happened in Arizona at this Super Bowl and bring that man to justice. That is the first thing that I am, the second thing that I am doing if I am president for a day. Oh, my number one?
My number one,
I've said it on this podcast before. Whether we have to make a trade for it or not, it's a shame that this hasn't happened. Make Super Bowl Monday a national holiday. Everyone's off work. The kids are off school. Give them back President's Day. When I'm president for a day, you're not going to want to celebrate the presidents anymore. I'll promise you that. So that's the trade that we may get. Everyone gets Super Bowl Monday, and in return, you guys can have President's Day. You can have... I'm not going to say any other holidays. I don't want to get canceled. But I will continue to beat the dead horse that Super Bowl Monday needs to be a national holiday.
I'm with you. I'm with you, President Abe. President Abe Lincoln Granoff. The final thing that I would do, and my highest ranking thing, and I'm gonna pivot a little bit here because I'm going to offer it up, just the concept. I want to stimmy the people, but... I want them to have to take the stimulus in the form of a gamble, in the form of a futures bet. Now, originally, I had everyone picks an NFL Super Bowl bet, but now I'm thinking, what if we could bring – I could make soccer the most popular thing in America by picking soccer. Could you imagine if the whole country had money on one event? And more importantly – it would do more for education in this country about odds, probability, data than anything. Think about it. You have to make a decision between, okay, am I going to roll with like the plus 600 favorite? Am I going to be an idiot and throw it away on the 80-1, you know, Minnesota Timberwolves to win? Like, who knows? Maybe they could, maybe they can't. But I think it would be a really nice endeavor and it would be funny. And then the payout, like you get all these places being like, oh my God, the U.S. Treasury just paid out $4.6 billion on the fucking, I don't know, the Pittsburgh Panthers to win the NHL Stanley Cup.
Jack just said, vote for me for president. You want to get rid of the opioid addiction? I got you. We'll get a gambling addiction instead. Jack wants to make sure that everyone in the United States of America has a gambling issue. He wants to get people educated on what it's like to gamble. He wants them to know what odds are, and he wants them to have some skin in the game.
D-gen.
From one it's addiction.
The United States of D-gen. That's my dream. There you go. That's my dream. All right. Well, let us know in the YouTube comment sections what you guys think. Who would be better president? And I think we both have great ideas. So I'm not like getting up at the debates shitting on your ideas. I'm more just pushing mine. The United States of D-Gen.
You and I would be pretty funny on a presidential debate. So what's your take on foreign affairs? I don't know. Jack's a cuck.
All right, let's get Eagleston in here, who would not be able to be president, given he's, you know, lives in another freaking country, a province, whatever the hell he calls
Eagleston,
that thing.
Eagleston, what's up, brother? What is the number one thing that you would do as Prime Minister of Canada for one day?
Number one thing.
Tim Hortons, 24/7.
I would ban the Stanley Cup being able to be won by American teams. Right off the top. It's been 20 straight years, and I feel like it needs to come home. I'm kind of tired of this.
We said that you're the president or the prime minister, not the commissioner of the NHL.
I feel like prime minister outranks the commissioner of the NHL.
I actually don't.
No? You think Batman has...
The fuck is a prime minister?
Come on.
Yeah, we see how much everyone loves Trudeau or whatever the fuck
his
name is.
People
over there
do hate Trudeau. We don't need to get into that. Abe, I do want to say I was belly laughing here when you were saying Stippy. That was one of the funniest things ever. That was so good. That was hilarious.
Yeah, I would say that was on purpose, but I think I'm just dumb.
Doesn't even matter. It was so funny.
Well, I'm changing them to Stippies. We're rebranding, baby.
Love it.
Stipulation checks. All right, Eagleson. Mm-hmm. You got a minute for what the pook?
What the pook?
All right. Abe,
Jack, you're on
Abe,
the clock.
You want to bring up a... Wow. Mm.
My phone's on. My phone is.
It's okay. I'm here. All right. Here we go. In 3, 2, 1.
All right. So we're at the point in the season where, as a Leafs fan, I kind of just want the playoffs to start. The regular season isn't really doing it for me. I just want to get at Tampa since this matchup has been in stone since before midseason, it feels like. So I won't even talk about Toronto here. Instead, I'll give a quick breakdown of Abe's Oilers. Firstly, that huge contract they gave Jack Campbell has been a straight-up failure. Props to Dubas for letting him walk. Stuart Skinner has been mediocre in net in place of Campbell. He has a 290 goals against average, so not Stanley Cup worthy at all. They also have the 25th-ranked penalty kill, and we know that's a disaster are waiting to happen in the playoffs. They also average 3.3 goals against per game, which ranks 22nd in the league. And again, come playoff time, you just can't be that much of a liability defensively, because in the playoffs it takes one goal and then these good teams will lock down and squeeze the life out of the Oilers until there's zeros on the clock. And a lot of that comes down to the goaltending, like I already mentioned, but it's also on the defense. And this, you know, might not mean much to non-hockey fans, but Cody Ceci is on their top defensive pairing. That's fucking crazy. Anyone who knows hockey, like that's just...
Listen, man, if you ever bet a future in hockey, Jack, you cannot feel more confident about it than when Eagleson comes on and gives his opinion on it, and he shits on it. From someone who has been notably a moron when it comes to hockey takes, I couldn't feel more confident about my Oilers at this point. And matter of fact, I might double down.
Oh, my God.
26th-ranked penalty kill. Okay, Eagleson.
It's one of the biggest things going into the playoffs that you could have in your favor.
Can you just tell me about Cody Ceci?
Oh, my fucking God. We let him go out of Toronto because he couldn't crack our top six. And
it's personal.
It's personal, but he was on Ottawa before that, Pittsburgh before that, off both those teams because he couldn't even crack their top six defensemen. And now he's on the top pairing for Edmonton. The rest, if you look at their lineup, it is disgusting, the other people they have on defense and their bottom forwards. It's Matthias Ekholm, one of the guys they like traded for at the deadline, supposed to be like this top defensive guy. He's going to, you know, shore up the defense for them. He's a fucking forward. He has 9 points in 10 games. He doesn't play defense. You guys have two of the best offensive players in the world, and you traded for an offensive defenseman. It's mind-boggling.
All right. Have you considered the fact that maybe Abe's a visionary and so is the Oilers front office? You got the pitch clock in baseball leading to increased scoring. Mm-hmm. You've got the NBA where offense is so good that it's a problem, said quote-unquote basketball expert Bob Ryan mm-hmm. and Jack Sedwin. And the NFL where 38 points was needed to win the Super Bowl. Maybe this is the year where all those defensive metrics aren't the answer. I don't know. I'm just saying.
I mean,
you know what I took out of that rant on What the Puck?
What?
He said a lot about my future. Talked pocket watching, if you would, pretty much, which we know what happens when you pocket watch, so be careful. What he didn't do, Jack, he didn't 0.00 it. He didn't say there's a 0.00% chance the Oilers win the Stanley Cup.
Oh, I thought you were just going to say a playoff round. There is a 0.00% chance they win the Stanley Cup. I thought you were going to say a playoff round or something like that. Oh, my God. They're not winning a cup.
We all know that a playoff round win is a Stanley Cup where you're from. But where I'm from, we try and win it all.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I gotcha.
You just try to win three rounds.
Yeah. No, you don't try to win it all. You just
try to get
to
there.
Half of it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I try to win it all.
That's. Yeah. Well, then why don't the Leafs try to win it all?
I think they do, brother.
I think they do as well. All right, fam. Well, Abe, good luck in your travels. Let us know. I'm excited for you. I think maybe you'll find your second city of love. Mm-hmm. You know, Cleveland has my heart. Raleigh could be yours. You
Real quick,
know.
Though, I don't think that's going to happen. So, again, I told the fam to DM me if you live in the area and want to do something, grab a bite to eat, grab a beer or something.
Catch a Leafs game.
No DMs were acquired except for someone telling me that I'm a little bitch boy. I'm going there, presumably just going to get dinner by myself at night and watch the basketball games. I can't bet in North Carolina. I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe
play some
casino.
Early. You could play some early.
That's not what I roll with, brother. Oh, speaking of which, this is officially, I am declaring my team the Kansas State Wildcats. Coach.
They're toast.
All they need to do is win two games for my bet to hit, so.
Yeah, they're toast.
They'll be
all
Michigan
right, fam.
State.
Well, go Longhorns. I'm headed to State College tomorrow, so any nits, hit me up in the DMs. I'll be there till Saturday morning. Eagleson, stay safe up there because you never know what Trudeau or Bettman are going to plan.
You never know.
You know, the two of them taking over the telecom.
Isn't Biden? Biden's coming to Ottawa this weekend, I think. Your guy.
Nice.
Nice,
hell
brother.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Tell him I say what's up.
On that note, everyone, have a great weekend. Snapback fam, much love. Peace.